For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Unbelieving Spouse, as we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
But to the rest I speak and not the Lord, dealing now with the special situations. If a brother has a wife that does not believe, and she's content to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And if the woman which has a husband that believes not, and if he is pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. So either the husband or the wife, believing, bring into the home a holy environment by which the children are covered. Many times I am questioned as to the fate of children who die. Or more often, the question arises, if the church is raptured, or when the church is raptured, will the little children all go up in the rapture? I can speak for surety on the children of a saved parent, either one or both, that they are protected and covered by the believing parent. I do not have that same surety where the parents are unbelievers. I personally feel that because they are not at an age of responsibility, God will be gracious and merciful unto them. And I believe strongly in the justice and the fairness of God, though I do not have a sound scriptural base. I do not have any scripture that says, yes, all children are going to go up in the rapture, or all children who die are saved. We do know that it is so if there is a believing husband or wife. Now, my feeling is, why live under the cloud of a question? Why even worry about it? Just receive the Lord and know. But we do know, as far as a believing parent, the house is sanctified by either one being a believer. But if the unbelieving depart, let them depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. So if on your receiving Jesus Christ, your husband or your wife just can't handle you anymore, they say, look, I didn't bargain for this. I can't stand you. I can't live with you like this. Then let them depart. You're not under bondage. You're not under the bondage to remain with them in such cases. Let them depart. God has called us to peace, not to warfare in marriage. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how do you know, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all of the churches. Now he deals with what condition were you in when God called you? Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Therefore, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. When God saved you, were you an uncircumcised Gentile? Then don't bother about going through the Jewish rite of circumcision. Remain as you were when God called you. Now, if you were a servant when God called you, don't worry about it. If you can be free, then use your freedom rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Now, you may still be a servant as far as man is concerned, but as far you're free now and you're God's free man. Also, he that is called being free becomes Christ's servant. So, the calling wherein I was called, abide in that calling. Don't try to change things radically after you've become a Christian, unless the life that you were living, the occupation that you had, is so totally antagonistic towards Christian principles that you've got to get out. You were bought with a price, therefore don't be the servants of man. Even if you are a servant of man, realize that you are a servant of Jesus Christ. And so that basically is where we all are, servants of Jesus Christ. Brethren, let every man wherein he's a called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Now we are dealing with an interesting area here, and there are three possible interpretations. There are those that say that Paul is talking now to the fathers who have daughters who are virgins, and that he's dealing with the situation of whether or not you allow your daughter to get married. There is the second that, again, takes in the cultural aspects. There were those people who were living together and even sleeping in the same bed but not having conjugal relationship. And even they were just sort of, you know, the trial marriage kind of thing, but without the sex aspect of it. Seeing if you get along living together, you know, yet not entering into a physical relationship. And this was a common practice in those days there in Corinth. The third thought is that there were also those who were married, who did get married, but felt it was more spiritual not to have sex, even in marriage. And I personally feel that Paul is probably referring to this third category. The language sort of precludes a father having a daughter and giving her, who is a virgin, and giving her in marriage. The language sort of precludes that. I think that it probably is referring to this third concept of we are more spiritual because we don't have sex. Yes, we're married, but my wife is still a virgin. Weird. I couldn't handle that. But this is what I feel was the issue that Paul was addressing in this part. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I'll give my judgment as one who has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say, it's good for a man so to be. Are you bound unto a wife? Don't then seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Then don't seek a wife. Now, again, Paul is saying this under the whole umbrella of time is so short. Later on, when he wrote to the church of Ephesus, realizing that the coming of Jesus evidently wasn't going to be immediate, he used the marriage relationship as a beautiful example of the deep relationship that exists between Christ and his church, and uses it in one of the most beautiful illustrations of relationship that can exist. So, are you married? Don't seek to be loosed. Are you loose from a wife? Don't seek a wife. But, and if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, and I would just spare you. He's saying, hey, marriage isn't always what it's trumped up to be. You can have difficulties in marriage. This I say, brethren, that time is short, and so it remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Now that has to be interpreted in the context. For in the context, he said, he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. He that is not married actually just seeks to please God. So when he says they that are married should be as though they were not married, he is just saying you should be concerned in pleasing God. That should be your primary concern. They that weep as though they wept not. They that rejoice as though they rejoice not. They that buy as though they possess not. They that use the world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. Time is short. He's actually saying we don't have time really to get involved in marital relationships. We don't have time to indulge in grief or sorrow. We don't have time for partying and revelry. We don't have time to amass possessions. We are in the world, but let's not abuse it. Let's use it. We've got to live. We've got to eat. So do what you have to, but don't get overly involved, for the fashion of the world is passing away. Or is rapidly passing away. So as Paul was looking at the situation in his day, at the deterioration of the whole social scene, of things that were taking place, he gives these warnings. Time is short. Things are rapidly passing away. We really don't have time for the extraneous. But I would have you without this care. Carefulness, it's or full of care is a better way. We understand that better. I would keep you freed from that fullness of care, worry. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married cares for the things that are of this world, how he may please his wife. And there's difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Distractions. So he is just saying that in giving yourself completely to serving the Lord, a wife can be an encumbrance, can be a hindrance. You have to now take her into consideration, and your real interest is pleasing her, and that's proper. We should be concerned, fellas, in how to please our wives. And you wives should be concerned in how to please your husbands. And we need to take careful consideration of these things. It's proper, it's right. I think that, again, a man has to be gifted to live a single life. And that if God hasn't gifted you, as the scripture said, he who has found a wife has found a good thing in favor of the Lord. Paul is talking out of the concept that time is so short, we don't have time for these things now. And it could be that we are approaching that kind of a situation again as we come to the end of the age. However, the Bible does not speak disparagingly of marriage, but does hold it up as God's plan, God's purpose for man. It's the natural thing. It's unnatural not to be married. Now, if a man thinks that he is behaving himself uncomely towards his virgin, and she's past the flower of her age, and needs so require, let him do what he will. He sins not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, and that having no necessity is an important clause, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, he does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he that gives her not in marriage does better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abides after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Now, in my judgment, she'd be happier to remain unmarried. But it's a interesting situation. It must be looked at in the light of the conditions in Corinth and in the light of Paul's concept that time was short, it was almost over. Now, the second issue. As touching the things offered unto idols, we know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Contrast between knowledge and love. We know we have all knowledge. Now, there was a problem in those days because idolatry was so prevalent. Most of the meat that you would buy in the marketplace had first a portion of it been offered unto the idols, to the pagan gods. When they would butcher their meat, they would take portions of it and offer it as a burnt offering unto their gods. And then the priest would get his part and the rest of it would be given back to the person, and oftentimes it would be taken to the market and sold in the market. Now, many Christians had great difficulty with their own conscience in eating meat that had been offered as a sacrifice to a pagan god. This really troubled them. But there were others in Corinth who boasted of their knowledge. Well, that's nothing. That's just a stone. It's not a god, and so it doesn't make any difference. I have enough knowledge to realize that that's nothing at all, and therefore I can eat the meat without, you know, being troubled in my conscience over it. Now, Paul is sort of addressing himself to these who are taking that liberty because of their knowledge and offending the weaker brethren. So touching those things offered to idols, we know that we have all knowledge. We know that the idol is nothing. But knowledge puffs up. But love builds up. One is filled with air, the other has something solid. And if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. And this is so true. The man who thinks he knows the most usually knows the least, because the more you know, the more you know you don't know. Shakespeare said, "Man, poor man, so ignorant in that which he knows best." What do you know best? What area of knowledge are you most proficient in? Sciences? Mathematics? Linguistics? Say your area of proficiency is the area of science. How much of all that can be known in science do you know? Say your proficiency is mathematics. Of all that can be known in mathematics, how much do you know? My proficiency is the Bible, but I'll tell you what, there's much more about the Bible that I don't know than I do know. I know enough to know that I don't know. I know enough to know that there is so much to be known, I'll never know it all.
It's story time with Pastor Chuck, and this one's a giant adventure. Listen and read along as Pastor Chuck Smith unfolds the story of David and Goliath to every boy and girl. Journey with young David as he faces a big, scary giant, and see how his faith in a big, powerful God made all the difference. Discover why David trusted the Lord with all his heart and won the battle for Israel, even when the odds seemed impossible. This story will help you teach your children how they too can trust in God and be used by Him in amazing ways. Perfect for ages 2 to 8, this book includes 40 full-color illustrated pages and an audio CD narrated by Pastor Chuck himself. Order The Story of David and Goliath today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. Plant God's Word in their hearts, one story at a time.
May the Lord bless you and watch over you this week. May His hand be upon your life to strengthen you, to guide you. May He use you as His instrument to do His work. May God fill you with love and with understanding, compassion, the Spirit. May you walk in the Spirit and be led of the Spirit of God this week. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Corinthians 7 through 8. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.